Still here. We're doing the Gather series. Again, if it's your first time this morning, welcome. We've been going through this series called Gather because church is a gathering, and we're exploring some of the essentials of church. And we're going to turn to the topic of discernment. We're going to address this over more than 1 week. We're going to have 2 weeks on this. Discernment's an important topic. Let's find out how important it is. Let me ask you a question. Show of hands. Hands up if you have ever had a conundrum. Yes. It's fairly universal. Here's one. Seriously, who's facing a conundrum right now? Yeah, there's a few. Yeah. Perhaps you're wrestling with a difficult decision like Sue was sharing earlier. Maybe you're caught in one of those double bind situations, like darned if you do, darned if you don't. No matter which way you go, there's going to be difficulty where every option seems to come with a cost. I don't know what you're facing, but when I think of conundrums, I think of these. I hate Rubik's Cubes. I'm not into puzzles anyway, right? I'd rather watch sport. But anyway, I'm not really into puzzles. I cannot solve a Rubik's Cube. I know that there is a method to it. It requires a certain IQ. And so my method is to ignore it and hand it to someone else to solve for me. I can just ignore that conundrum. The difference is, though, avoiding a Rubik's Cube doesn't really come with any consequences. It doesn't really matter. But the difficult decisions of life, have you noticed this? They don't just disappear when you ignore them. Sooner or later, they demand a response. And when we do try to ignore them, we often end up trapped in procrastination, mental paralysis, or fear. We can miss opportunities, damage relationships, and sometimes, here's the scary bit, miss what God is calling us into. That's why discernment matters. So this morning we're going to meet someone in the book of Acts who faced an extraordinary conundrum. And he could have just stuffed it away and ignored it. Here's the conundrum. Imagine, well, what would you do if you're praying one day and God told you to go and meet and pray for a terrorist? Not someone with a bad reputation, not someone you just, you know, have a disagreement with, someone known for hunting down and imprisoning people like you. Because that is exactly the situation that Ananias finds himself in. Let's have a read. It should be on the screen there. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him, in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, not that Judas that you're thinking of, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. Subtext, including me. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Now, very, very quickly, Even if you haven't read the Bible, you would have heard probably of the Apostle Paul. That's Saul. That's who he was. He was Saul before he becomes Paul, in case you didn't know. But here's the conundrum. How does Ananias discern that this is really God speaking to him? What evidence does he have that obedience is the right course of action? Here are four ways we're going to run through this morning how Ananias can discern that this is actually God's voice, and we can adopt it into our own process of individual discernment. First one, really quickly, look for internal tests, okay? When you read the initial instruction that God gives to Ananias, he is sure to include details that are immediately testable, even before Ananias ever has to stand in front of Saul or Paul. Look at it again. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus, etc. God does not send Ananias straight to Saul of Tarsus. He sends him to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Ananias, being a resident of Damascus, would know about Straight Street. He would know probably if there was a house of Judas on Straight Street. And if he didn't know, he could confirm that. He could ask people that lived in the street, is there a house of Judas on this street? This might seem like a small thing, but it's not. The command is testable. God is happy to include elements of testability in his word. And, you know, we see this dynamic in Scripture. Later on, Paul, the apostle, is writing in 1 Corinthians 15:6. This is Paul talking about the resurrection to the Corinthian church. He says, after that, he, that is Jesus, appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. Most of them are still living. Why does Paul say that? This is Paul's way of saying, look, if you don't believe me, they're still alive. Go and ask them. There's testability written into the word of God. God's word is testable because truth stands up to the test. So, if you are wondering, is this really God? Ask yourself, are there testable details in there? Is it testable? Number two, when in doubt, ask. Ask. A friend calls you and says, I need you to watch my dog for the weekend. They're on the phone. Yep, no worries. He needs to be fed twice a day. Okay, yeah, no worries. You got to take him for regular walks. Yep, okay, cool. Oh, by the way, he needs medication. Okay. Oh, and he really doesn't like children and other dogs and people. Hang on, you're starting to push back now. And he can get a little bit aggressive occasionally. And he knows how to open gates. Wait, what? And he weighs 70 kilos. At some point, things get unreasonable, right? And that's the moment where you go, wait, what? This is what Ananias is doing. You want me to do what? This is unreasonable. You're allowed to ask questions. You're allowed the whole, wait, what moment? God gives Ananias surprisingly intricate details of Saul's situation. He tells him what Saul has seen. But rather than just step forward, Ananias, he's like us. He's not sure. He's like, hang on just a minute. Hang on just a minute. So he pushes back. I love this. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard these reports. Do you know who this guy is and all the harm that he's going to do to your holy people in Jerusalem? And of course, as I've mentioned in the previous reading, the subtext is, I'm going to be one of them, Ananias is probably feeling. Ananias is talking back to God. He's saying, what? Here's the good news. He's not the first to do this. and he definitely won't be the last. And God doesn't seem to mind. God doesn't seem to mind. In Judges chapter 6, verse 36 to 40, Gideon, absolute coward, is Gideon. Hilarious. And God chooses him to lead an army, vastly outnumbered by the Midianites. And God calls him to lead Israel in battle. But to confirm, because he's not sure, he's like, are you serious? To confirm it's really God, he puts out a fleece and he asks God to soak it with dew and have the rest of the ground dry around the fleece to do a sign, a miracle. And much to his disappointment, it's confirmed. The next day it's soaked and the ground is dry. And he's like, dang it, maybe it was an accident. And so you get this in verse 39. Don't be angry with me, God. Let me just make one more request. Allow me one more test. He pushes back. This time, make the fleece dry and the ground wet, etc. Guess what happens? God obliges. It's confirmed. Yeah, nope, Gideon, it's really you. So if you're asking, is this really God? Does he really want me to do this? Remember, you're allowed to ask questions. You're allowed to push back. You're allowed the wait, what moment? God doesn't mind. God doesn't mind. Number three, the dynamics of God's voice. What God's voice actually sounds like. There will come a time when the confirmation comes and there are key elements that you can discern out of what God says to Ananias. We're going to listen in again onto scripture and then I'll unpick it. The Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you know if it's really God's voice? Three important elements you need to listen out for. Here they are. Command, clarity, and confirmation. Command, clarity, and confirmation. God's voice sounds like a command, not a suggestion. This is important. This is important. Satan, our enemy, is far more subtle. Did God really say? Genesis 3. Satan is great at suggestions. There's Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. He's fasted for 40 days. Along comes Satan. You must be hungry. Why don't you turn those stones into bread? You're the Son of God, right? He offers suggestions. If you'd walked into my little menswear department in the surf shop in the top level of Galleria 20 years ago when I was working in retail and you bought a pair of jeans, you know what I'd say to you? I'd say, well, you may as well buy a belt as well. That's how you do upselling, just suggesting. I mean, you've already bought the pair of jeans. You may as well buy the matching belt, as it were. God will never sound like that. Go, says God. It's a command. God's voice commands. But God is not cagey. He does not leave you guessing about his purposes. Jesus said, a servant or a slave, could be translated, does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, because I've let you in on my plans. That's John 15:15. Jesus will let us in on his plans to a level, not on everything, but to a level. He's not cagey. He has no problem sharing his reasons and his plans with people, to those who are willing to listen. He will give missional clarity. And then also, we've already touched on this, God's instruction contains enough clarity that as you obey it, you can recognize whether it truly came from him. You can confirm it. We heard a story about that at communion, didn't we? Yeah, that was clearly the right step to take. It's been confirmed by the miracles I'm now seeing in my life. Does this happen elsewhere in Scripture? Is this a pattern? I think yes. Probably the most famous, "Are you sure you want me to do this, God?" moment is Moses, right? In front of the burning bush. Exodus 3. Hilarious. God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh and bring Israel out of Egypt. There's the command. Moses, go. But go. It takes a while to get Moses around, right? There's the command. Here's the missional clarity. Lead my people out of Egypt. And here's the confirmation. Oh, you're still not sure. Chuck your stick down, becomes a snake. You know that it's me, Moses. It's the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So if you're thinking this morning, how do I know it's really God? Listen for three things: command, clarity, and confirmation. Fourthly and lastly, engage faith. Maybe the most important verse in the whole Ananias and Saul story is where it begins, actually. Verse 10, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias, yes, Lord." Right? He answered. Do you know what our vision statement is as a church? To see people say yes to Jesus, right? There's the posture there. God gives discernment to those willing to say yes. God gives discernment to those willing to say yes. I'm tempted to say it a third time. Because this morning we're talking about discernment. We are not talking about absolute intellectual certainty. At some stage, you're going to have to take a step of faith. At some stage. Now, Sue was sharing that step of faith was literally a step forward down the front, right? She still could have stayed in the seat. She still could have doubted. At some stage, you do have to take a step of faith. Why? Because the ultimate confirmation that it was God's voice only appears after the step of faith. If you're waiting for the ultimate confirmation before you take the step, it's probably not going to happen. Here's what Ananias gets to see. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Can you imagine if you're Ananias? You would have been petrified going to that house. And your worst enemy becomes your brother. He took a step of faith and the man he once feared most transformed. Because the fact is, sometimes you only get the final solution at the end of the story. Sometimes you've got to wait till the end. Here's the beautiful thing though, if you're struggling with that, if you're struggling to wait to this stage and keep stepping, I want to tell you, Jesus has already been there. Man, he must have been looking forward to the resurrection, but he had to go through the Garden of Gethsemane first. Father, if there's any way that I'm misreading this, is there any way that we can do this a different way? If there is any way this cup can pass from me, please do. But, what's the posture? Not my will, but yours be done. You can say yes to Jesus because he knows what it's like to say yes before us. So if you're wondering, is it really you, Lord? Simply pray this prayer. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. So here's what I want you to do this week. Work through this flow diagram. I'm just getting out of the way so you can take a screenshot. If you've got your phone, feel free to take a screenshot. I don't know, for those of you who stuck your hands up, you're facing a conundrum and you are like, man, I just want to get to this. Maybe you're at A maybe you need to ask the question, have I actually really bothered to present my situation to God? Have I taken the time to come before the Lord and present my situation to Him? Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've done that. That's great. But have you taken a day to get alone or whatever? Have you really listened to His response? Or maybe you've heard His response and you're like, oh man, I know what He wants me to do, but have I heard His response and I need to take a step of faith? If you're at part C, just imagine how good it's going to be when you reach step D. I took the step and I received some confirmation. You can take a picture of that, or it's going to be, I'm going to place it in the life group notes that'll go out this week for our life groups. But if you're at A, can I just encourage you to step to B? If you're at B, can you just take a step to C? If you're at C, take a step to D. And you may want to share something at the testimony service. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Ananias and this beautiful story. We thank You, Lord. We do thank You that You didn't just create Paul out of nothing, that he became an apostle, not just on the Damascus Road, but it was Your people that had to meet with him. He had to be prayed for. Someone had to take a step of faith. Someone had to ask the question, is it really You? Is it really You? Because I'm scared. I'm scared of this guy. But if it's You, my answer is yes. Lord, we are just so blessed by the writings of Paul. It's half the New Testament. I thank You for Ananias, that he took that step. Lord, I thank You that You don't leave us in the dark, that You're willing for us to ask questions. You're willing even for us to say, are You sure? When things feel unreasonable. I thank You for Your clarity. I thank You that You don't just suggest, that You command. You tell us exactly what You want us to do. Help us just to follow it. Help us just to take that step. Lord, I needed help with the Rubik's Cube, and I pray that if there's anyone here this morning who needs help, who needs a bit of guidance, who's facing a conundrum, or who's wondering if they've heard Your voice, Lord, I pray that they would be willing to just meet in the green room afterwards for some prayer. Thank You, Lord, for what You are doing amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen.